The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 34. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 19th, 2010, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, text number 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chanchalam himana krishna pramati balavadridham tasyaham drigaham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. Purport. The mind is so strong and obstinate that it sometimes overcomes the intelligence. Although the mind is supposed to be subservient to the intelligence. For a man in the practical world who has to fight so many opposing elements, it is certainly very difficult to control the mind. Artificially, one may establish a mental equilibrium toward both friend and enemy, but ultimately, no worldly man can do so, for this is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. In the Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad 1.3.3-4, it is said, Atmanam ratinam vidhi sariram ratameva cha budhim tu saratim vidhi mana pragrahameva cha indriyani hiyan ayur vishayam steshu gocharam admendriya mano yuktam bhokjahar manishinaha. The individual is the passenger in the car of the material body, and intelligence is the driver. Mind is the driving instrument, and the senses are the horses. The self is thus the enjoyer or sufferer in the association of the mind and senses. So it is understood by great thinkers. Intelligence is supposed to direct the mind, but the mind is so strong and obstinate that it often overcomes even one's own intelligence, as an acute infection may surpass the efficacy of medicine. Such a strong mind is supposed to be controlled by the practice of yoga, but such practice is never practical for a worldly person like Arjuna. And what can we say of a modern man? The simile used here is appropriate. One cannot capture the blowing wind, and it is even more difficult to capture the turbulent mind. The easiest way to control the mind, as suggested by Lord Chaitanya, is chanting Hare Krishna, the great mantra for deliverance, in all humility. The method described is Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayo. One must engage one's mind fully in Krishna. Only then will there remain no other engagements to agitate the mind. Vandeha. Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunata Anvita Tamsa Jiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Bada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha So, here we are, sitting in the middle of a hurricane, a raging hurricane, called the mind. That mind is carrying us this way, it's carrying us that way. Through 8,400,000 species of life, this rascal mind is carrying us. Just see how pernicious is the mind. How much we are being cheated. We're eternal spiritual beings, quality one with God. But under the influence of the mind, we have taken so many different forms which have nothing to do with our actual self. Sometimes a demigod, sometimes a human being, sometimes an animal, sometimes a plant, sometimes a fish, sometimes even down to being a microbial germ. All because of the mind. If I said, would you like to be a microbial germ? Who would say, oh yes, I want to be a microbial germ. The dead, we have agreed to become microbial germ. Due to the deluding influence of the mind. So just see what a rascal thing the mind is when it's uncontrolled. See. It would drag us down to becoming microbial germ. So, in this human form of life, we have a very good opportunity for bringing that rascal under control. Taming the wild beast. Just like in Texas in the old days, there were so many horses running wild, they called them Mustangs, running wild in the prairie. So they would lasso that horse, they would capture him, they would put him in the corral. And then the cowboy, he would get on top of the horse, try to tame the horse, that now you will accept me as your passenger, and you do what I say. But the horse, he was used to running free. He did not like this idea of becoming a slave of the cowboy. So, as soon as the cowboy gets on his back, he immediately whips his rear legs into the air, to whip the cowboy off the back. They're called bucking broncos. You see? So, those cowboys take a lot of beating. They're thrown off again and again from the bucking bronco. But if the cowboy is more determined than the horse, he will get on again and again and again until finally that horse says, "All right, I'm tired of bucking and I'll do what you say." You see? So the mind is bucking bronco. We try to subdue the mind by saying, "Okay, mind, now I'm going to become a devotee." The mind says, "Wait a minute." And the mind whips away Krishna consciousness. You see? Even we want to be Krishna conscious. The mind does not agree. It says, "No, I want to go to cinema. No, I want to look at porno. No, I want to do this. No, I want sense gratification." You see? So if you want to actually become free from the repetition of birth and death, if you actually want to regain your original eternal identity in the pastimes of a Lord in the spiritual sky, then you have to become the master of your mind. There's no option. Just as that cowboy finally subdues the horse, now you must finally subdue your mind. By Krishna consciousness. Whenever the mind goes away from Krishna, you see. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalamascharam tatastato niyamyatat atmanyevavisham niyat. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly conquer it and bring it back under the control of a self. So we have to bring that mind under our control. My dear mind, you're not going to be independent anymore. Now I'm going to engage you in Krishna consciousness, my dear mind. Bajahure mana Srinandanandana Abhaya charanara vindure. My dear mind, now simply engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. This is your new engagement, mind. You're not going to run free anymore. And Prabhupada gave a purport on this very nice song. He said, the mind will object, but Govinda Das, you're taking away all my sense gratification. Now what will I do, Govinda Das? You're not giving me any engagement. And then Govinda Das sings, Shavana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pujana Saki Jana. Let's see, no. Shavana Kirtana Smarana Vandana. In this way, hearing, chanting, remembering. In this way, Shavana Kirtana Smarana Vandana. In this way, he gives the mind these nine engagements, which are also described by Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives so many engagements. My dear mind, you can think about Krishna. My dear mind, you can chant Hare Krishna. My dear mind, you can hear the glories of Krishna. You can engage in serving Krishna. You can engage in bathing in the Jamuna. That's Padasevanam, Prabhupada explains. You can give everything to Krishna. You have so many engagements, my dear mind, that I will keep you busy for all of eternity in the most wonderful nectarian mellow, the most wonderful nectarian rasa known as Krishna consciousness. It is the topmost ras. It is the supreme taste. You see? Once we get this higher taste, Vishaya Vinivartante Nirahar Rashadehina, Rashavarsham Rishopyashva Parang Vishvanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste with sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So you want to control your mind? You want to become Paramahamsa? You want to become a true yogi? And you have to get that higher taste? There is no higher taste in Krishna consciousness. But we doubt, therefore we absorb our consciousness in mundane things sometimes. We doubt if Krishna consciousness is really the highest thing. We still doubt it. So we have to throw away those doubts. We have to fully absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. And then the mind will get the message that there's no more messing around, no more hanky-panky. Now it's serious business. I must always remember Krishna. I must always talk about Krishna. I must always hear about Krishna. I must always serve Krishna. I must always worship Krishna. I must always serve the lotus feet of Krishna. I must stop being the enemy of Krishna, become the friend of Krishna, and I must surrender everything to Krishna. The beauty of this process is that as soon as we become serious about really becoming Krishna conscious, really becoming pure in devotional service, then we'll relish the sweetest taste, the most wonderful flavor. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 21. Bhayasvarashesh vatakdatma vindajatmaniyat sukam Sabrama Yoga Yuktatma Sukam Akshayam Ashnute. Such a liberated soul is not attracted to material sense gratification. Why? Because he is always relishing the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized souls enjoy unlimited happiness because they concentrate on the Supreme. Did you know you have an unlimited happiness right there, that close? Unlimited reservoir of pleasure is right there. But yet we still try to squeeze it out of the material energy. That's our stupidity. That is our foolishness. There's an unlimited reservoir of pleasure within, but still we're trying to squeeze it from the material nature. You see? The mind is like an immature child. He doesn't know how to behave. He's naughty. You see? Naughty mind. So we have to grow up. We have to stop being immature little children. Become mature Vaishnavas. Be fixed up Vaishnavas. Nishta. Fixed. What is the process of becoming fixed up Vaishnava? First thing is you have to have faith in the process. Shraddha. Next thing is you must associate with Vaishnavas, sadhu sangha. The next item, you must, bhajana kriya, you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and become initiated by the spiritual master. The fourth item, anartanivritti, if you seriously follow the orders of your Guru Maharaj, then you become free of all the dirt in the heart, all of that crud that you've lugged around with you for millions and billions of lifetimes, that karmic luggage which has been weighing you down for countless eons of lifetimes, you can just discard it. That's all. Abandoned. That's called anartanivritti. I don't need that lust. I don't need that anger. I don't need that greed. I don't need that madness. I don't need that illusion. I don't need that envy. Go away. I abandon you. You are simply my enemies. You see? This is called anartanivritti. And once you abandon all of that unnecessary, useless luggage, karmic luggage, then you achieve nishta. You become a fixed-up devotee of the Lord, solidly fixed, pakka Vaishnava, you see, nishta. And then, now that you're fixed up, what is the next thing you get? Sweeter than the taste, sweeter than the sweetest honey. It's so sweet. You wake up every morning. You wake up every morning in a state of bliss. Wow. This is so nectarian. I can't believe it. It's like waking up in the spiritual world every morning. That's called ruchi. You experience a sweet taste at every minute. Every minute is nectar, just oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar. Every little thing, offering obeisances, hearing a devotee speak, speaking to a devotee, honoring prasadam, distributing a book, everything is just oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar. That's called ruchi. And when that ruchi is multiplied millions and billions of times, that is called asakti, or attachment, divine intoxication. And then you have volcanic eruptions of love of God within the heart. That's called bhava stage. That's the preliminary stage of pure love of God. And from there you go to the highest perfection, prema. You regain your eternal identity in the spiritual world. Do you know you have a spiritual body right now? Do you know you have a spiritual body right now? It's just dormant. It's like in a sleeping condition. That's it. The spiritual body, Prabhupada said, through this process we gain our old original body. Of course, it's not a decrepit old body, like old bodies here. Navayovanam. Just as Krishna is eternally youthful, so all the inhabitants of the spiritual sky, they have the same quality. They are eternally youthful. So through this process of bringing the mind under control by fixing it in Krishna consciousness, we will achieve a perfection far beyond what the jnanis can achieve, far beyond what the yogis can achieve, far beyond the Buddhistic nirvana or the Sayuja Mukti of the impersonalists, you see, far, far beyond. This is why it is described in the Bhagavatam, Nirvana Vilambi Tani. Krishna consciousness, Bhakti Yoga, Bhagavan realization completely minimizes the happiness of Nirvana. This is why it is described in the Bhagavad Gita, Nirvana Paramam. The topmost nirvana, the supreme nirvana, is Krishna consciousness. So, the great acharyas are inviting everyone. Why are you rotting here? Don't you know who you are? Why are you running after bodily pleasure like a fool? Why? Why are you doing this? It's very foolish thing you're doing, you see. They're telling like that. Now you should simply cultivate pure devotional service. Forget all this rubbish, material sense gratification. Even if you're Brahma, you cannot become happy in this material world. There's no position of happiness here. This is simply suffering position of Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartin Arjuna. Mam upechita konteya puna janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, every single place, all the way from Johannesburg to Mauritius to London to New York to Los Angeles, it's all miserable. Every place is miserable. Have you noticed? This is hell. This is hellish. So instead of trying to squeeze pleasure out of this miserable place, we should, like George sang in his song, let's get out of this place by Lord Shri Krishna's grace. You see, Very nice son, but George, living in the material world. You see. I want to get out of this place by Lord Sri Krishna's grace. There's no sense loitering anymore here. I mean, we've tried it for countless eons, and what have we gotten? Another ridiculous rotting body. That's all we've gotten. Is anybody happy to have a rotting body? An aging, rotting body? It's going to, you know, the ears go bad, the eyes go bad, the liver goes bad, the heart goes bad. Is anybody happy about having such a body? Delighted with it? This is a prisoner's uniform, this material body. This is the uniform given to people who are prisoners, inmates in the cycle of birth and death. So it's time to get out of the prison. Bring the mind under control and come back to our original eternal identities as a servant of Krishna. This is what Prabhupada wants. He wants us all to become pure devotees. Prabhupada personally instructed me, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. And I was just an ordinary rank and file devotee. I wasn't a sannyasi, I wasn't a temple president, I wasn't a GBC, I'm just an ordinary pot washer and campus preacher. I would wash the pots and I would go out and preach on the campus. I wasn't a big gun in this kind, but Prabhupada gave me such a wonderful instruction. You see, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So do you think that instruction was only for me? No. Prabhupada wants every one of us to become spotlessly pure devotees. We can see Krishna face to face. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hidayeshu valokayanti yang sham shundaram chint yugana svarupam govindam adi purushom tambaham tamaham vijami. For that devotee who anoints his eyes with prem anjana, the ointment of love of God, there is a divine awakening of his consciousness, his original, natural, pure consciousness. And he sees Krishna within his heart, and he sees Krishna everywhere. So, where do we get this wonderful prem anjana? Sounds pretty good, huh? Premanjana? Where's the druggist shop, the pharmacy that sells Premanjana? Actually, it's interesting to note, Srila Prabhupada was a pharmacist in his household days, you see. And his Prayag pharmacy, he closed that business and then he started ISKCON. But ISKCON is also pharmacy, you see. ISKCON is dispensing this one medicine, Premanjana. The ointment of love of God. That is, we are a pharmaceutical business here. We are distributing prem anjana. So how does one apply that prem anjana, that ointment of love of God, to the eyes? Do you squeeze it on your eyes like that? No. This prem anjana, it is applied through the ears. It's a very amazing ointment. You put it through your ears. And then you take it into your heart. If you apply it, if you take the prem anjana, the ointment of love of God, through your ears and take it deep, 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 deep within you, into your heart of hearts, then that prem anjana will travel to your eyes and you will awaken to see Krishna. That is called premanjana. So, we simply have to hear from the pure devotees. We have to hear from those devotees who are sincerely preaching the message of Srila Prabhupada, who are purely, honestly, without any motive, delivering the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. If we will hear from such devotees, and if we will become such devotees ourselves, by sincere desire to please our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, then we will get that Premanjana. And we will see Krishna in due course of time. We have to be patient. We have been caught up for millions and millions of lifetimes in these enemies that I mentioned previously. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So it takes some time to become purified. So we have to be patient. Not that you go to the doctor and with some severe disease. You say, "Doctor, doctor, give me medicine. Cure me." I say, "Okay, here's your prescription." And you go to the pharmacy, you get your medicine, you take one pill, and 5 minutes later you're wondering, "Why am I not cured? This doctor must be bogus. I took the pill 5 minutes ago and I'm still sick." It takes time. It takes time for the medicine to act. You understand? So this medicine of Premanjana, this pure love of God, it takes time. How long have we been sick with this lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy? Do you know how many years, how many lifetimes? You cannot count them. They are countless. So we are very, very diseased. That's a fact. But this medicine given by the pure devotee, this medicine given by the spiritual master, has the full potency to quickly, within one lifetime, completely purify our consciousness so that we are 100% guaranteed to go back to home, back to Godhead, at the time of death. So we have a few minutes left for questions. If anybody has a question, I can try to answer them. Yes?
How do you account for the different levels of... How do you account for the different levels of spiritual realization?
How would I account for the different levels of spiritual realization? Yes. The basic three divisions are given by Srila Prabhupada. There is Brahman realization, there is Paramatma realization, and there is Bhagavan realization. Srila Prabhupada explains Brahman realization, it is perfect realization. And then he states that Paramatma realization is more perfect realization of the Absolute Truth. And Bhagavan realization, it is most perfect realization of the Absolute Truth. Now for one who is on the pathway of Bhagavan realization by taking to Krishna consciousness with all seriousness, there are gradations of awakening. You can be 1% Krishna conscious, 2%, 3%. Just like if you go... In the early morning, there's some beautiful countryside place. You want to see the sunrise. Of course, we don't go, but the nature lovers like to do like that. We rather have darshan of the deities. But the nature lovers, they find God within nature, so they go and they watch the sunrise on some mountaintop. So, that dawn, it just comes slowly, slowly, slowly. Slight little hint of light in the eastern horizon, a little bit more light, a little more. It comes slowly, slowly, gradually, gradually. So the awakening of Krishna bhakti in the heart is just like a beautiful sunrise and a wonderful spring morning in the mountains. It comes slowly, slowly, slowly. You just have to be patient and let it happen. That's all. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Next question.
Actually, I was reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Kapilad would say that the devotional service has a power to dissolve the subtle body.
So dissolve which body?
Dissolve the subtle
body. The subtle body, that's right.
Which means including the mind.
That's right.
So, will you please explain what does it mean actually?
What does it mean?
To
dissolve the subtle body? Is that what you're asking? What does it mean to... Yeah, okay. So he has read in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Kapiladeva is stating that devotional service or Krishna consciousness will dissolve the subtle body. So this is a very important thing. The subtle body composed of three elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego, is what has obligated us to take one gross body after another gross body after another gross body for millions and billions of lifetimes. The gross body does not oblige you to take another gross body, because when at time of death, you completely give up that gross body. It just merges back into the... if you're a Hindu, it becomes ashes. If you're a Christian, they bury it. It becomes dust. If you're a Parsi, they throw it to the vultures and it becomes the stool of the vultures. So the gross body is finished, completely finished. But there's another body that remains, and that is the subtle body. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits this body, in that state he will attain without fail, O son of Kunti. It's described in Yam Yam Vapi Smadam Bhavam Chedantyante Kalevaram Tam Tam Mevaiti Konteya Sadata Bhavabhavitaha. This is described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, text number 6. This mind keeps carrying you. Whatever you cultivate, whatever mental attitude one cultivates in this lifetime, that creates his next gross body. In other words, every one of us right now, by our very mental state, is creating our next gross body. So, as long as you have some material inclinations, you are creating a material body for yourself. So that, if one wants to, that tendency to enjoy matter, that has to be dissolved. There is a spiritual mind. It's not that you become mindless like the Buddhists say when you become perfect. Not that you become mindless, you merge into nothingness or into oneness like the Mayavadis say. The perfected spiritual being, the pure devotee, he still has a mind. He still has an intelligence. He still has a sense of personal identity and ego. But these are all purely Krishna conscious. So when Kapiladeva says that the subtle mind is being dissolved, he doesn't mean you become mindless. You understand? He's saying that all of the dirt is completely washed away. Chaito darpana marjanam. Baba Mahana Nivagni Nivapanam. As Lord Chaitanya says, this cleanses the mirror of the mind. So when he says dissolving the mind, he means dissolving away all the dirt. That's what he's talking about. You do not become mindless, but your mind becomes the purified original spiritual mind. The material mind becomes dissolved. Material mind is that mind of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So that's what it means. So now, dissolve that rascal mind by chanting Hare Krishna, serving the Vaishnavas, seriously following the orders of Srila Prabhupada. Your rascal material mind will become dissolved completely, Prabhu. And you'll see Krishna face to face. This process works if you work the process. Many people say, well, I tried it, it didn't work. Well, wait a minute, you didn't try it. You didn't try it properly. Like somebody says, well, I tried to bake a cake and it turned out to be goo in the bottom of the pan. Well, did you follow the recipe? Do you everything the recipe said? No, I follow most of the things, but I, you know, what does the cookbook know anyway? I, you know, added some of my own ingredients. I left out a few ingredients because they weren't handy in the kitchen. I didn't feel like going to the store, so I, you see, you have to take the process as it is. It's given by the previous acharyas. There's a tendency we have in our ISKCON to try to water down the process. Instead of taking the pure Krishna Bhakti system given by the acharyas, you want to make it cheap and easy. Well, that's a little bit too austere for me. I think I'll modify it a little bit. You see, it doesn't work. If you want pure bhakti, you have to follow the system precisely as Prabhupada has given it. You cannot invent your own new easy version. of Krishna consciousness. Well, I mean, Prabhupada said no illicit sex, but that means no sex outside of marriage. In marriage, I can have as much as I want. After all, the Christians do that, and other Vaishnavas do that, so it must be okay. But wait a minute, Prabhupada didn't say that. He said sex only once in a month. Thus, if you want to have a child, otherwise, brahmachari, strict brahmachari. In ISKCON now, devotees want to change this instruction of Prabhupada. But I guarantee, they may have sex, but I guarantee you they're not going to get Krishna. As long as you're attached to sex pleasure, you're not going to get Krishna bhakti, I guarantee you. You will not get Krishna bhakti. As long as you're attached to sex pleasure, forget it, you will not get Krishna bhakti. If you want Krishna bhakti, you have to become brahmachari. If you want to have child, that's divine, that is sanctioned. But sex life for pleasure is strictly prohibited. There are devotees who are trying to change that now in ISKCON, and I guarantee you they're not going to get Krishna. They're not going to get Krishna. If you want to dissolve that mind, you've got to be pure, Prabhu. You can't flirt around with sense gratification and dissolve the mind. Our time, we got about 2 minutes left, so this will be the last one. I was given a 10-minute extension. I don't want to go beyond that. Oh. Another question came in. Let me give this one a chance. You can come to the program tomorrow night and ask your question. Okay. Adi Krishna Maharaj, why even after doing our sadhana, devotees do not care for each other and do not give help? If a devotee does not care for other devotees, he is called Kanishta Adhikari. He's a materialistic devotee. Someone who does not care for other devotees is not advanced. He's a neophyte devotee. Actually, he's practically not even a devotee. We call him a devotee to encourage him to become a devotee. Kanishta Adhikari is materialistic. Why do I say that? Krishna says this in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta shtate janaha. Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta shtate janaha. Tad bhaktanam te ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So if you want to be a devotee of Krishna, he doesn't accept you. Unless you agree to become the devotee of his devotees. And that means you want to, if you're devoted to someone, it means you love to serve them. You want to serve them. You desire to serve them. If I don't have a desire to serve Vaishnavas, well, Krishna doesn't accept that you're his devotee. You can put tilak on your nose, you can get initiated, you can chant 16 rounds, you can do so many things, but if you're not willing, if you don't have an attitude of serving the Vaishnavas, Krishna doesn't recognize you. I don't know you. I don't know you. You see? Therefore, we have to serve the Vaishnavas. This is a wonderful opportunity, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's a wonderful opportunity that we can be together and serve one another. I can serve you, you can serve me. We can all serve each other. That's the move. We should try to serve every single person in this room, every single person in this movement. We should always think, how can I serve them? So always think that way. Now, well, I don't like this one. He disagreed with me. He's a jerk. No. Not like that. We have to be very tolerant and forgiving and always have a loving mood of serving the Vaishnavas. Always have a loving mood of serving the Vaishnavas. So our time has run out. I took my allotted 10 minutes over time. If I go beyond that, then I'd be welcome to come back to Mauritius. So I'd like to come back again with a welcome. Therefore, I will follow the authorities here in a mood of service. And I will end here, and we thank you all very much for your kindly participating in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly take up this mood of serving the Vaishnavas. Every chance you can get, try to serve a devotee. to look for every single opportunity to serve a Vaishnava. And I guarantee you, Krishna would recognize you. Oh, this devotee likes to serve my devotees. Let me bless him with prema immediately. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.